See, freedom demands responsibility because its instability needs order. Freedom demands sacrifice because, as we just mentioned, if you only pursue what you want, you'll pursue it until it kills you. Freedom demands acceptance. Most are quick to give it away to people that seem official because they fear the consequences of their own freedom. Happy 4th of July. Welcome to this bonus episode of Morning Coffee with Rick Alexander. Trying the video version on Instagram TV today, but of course, if it's not compelling to watch, the audio version is going to be available on the Morning Coffee podcast channel, wherever podcasts are found. So I want to talk about the demands of freedom. I want to talk about why freedom is such a dangerous idea, why it's difficult for people to handle, particularly at scale, why as humans we're called to strive for it, and lastly, why that is certainly not the same thing as having it. You know, lots of people are out running and striving, and very few of them have anything in their inner state, even remotely close to freedom. So first of all, let's talk about why it's dangerous. Freedom is a bit like an idea that once it grows roots into the heart of man or woman, they'll stop at nothing to attain it. You might say that it's such a dangerous idea that it will willingly walk its own host into harm's way for its pursuit. It's a weird angle, but it's true. This is dangerous for the host, that is, anyone who would dare to believe that man can have it or would feel compelled to fight for it, because it might ask you to pay the ultimate price. Now, as a value, it's massively expensive in that way. But it's also dangerous for anyone that would keep people from it, because it makes people discard their own fears. See, if the possibility of death becomes an acceptable price to pay, that means that any power structure that would seek to keep it from people loses their teeth in doing so. Nothing is more dangerous to an oppressor than the willingness of the oppressed to die for their own liberation. See, because once fear loses its place at the table, the order that was relying on it becomes consumed in chaos. What's interesting is that if we look at history, there becomes this pattern of the oppressed becoming the oppressor. I don't know, it's weird. It's like humans don't learn. That is literally the story of the Bible's Old Testament. It's also the story of cultures around the world today. People are so threatened by the idea of people becoming free and using that freedom in any way that they see fit, that slowly but surely, they begin to make concessions and little rules that seek to eke out the instability that freedom comes along with, because it does come with instability. We can think about this right now. It's happening in the United States everywhere. The right or conservative arm of the government is seeking to eke freedom from people by clinging to law and order. See, more police, more laws. I saw it today, actually, perfect example. Trump just said that he was going to fight to give anyone that vandalized a statue 10 years in prison. This is a perfect example of how the right takes freedom away by asserting law and order. The left's tactic is more tricky to find. You see them looking to take away freedoms by outrage and cancel culture. It's kind of like the mob mentality. See, but when both of these sides are committed to winning for their team, for their ideology, for their political affiliation, instead of giving an individual the expression of freedom, which I would assert is kind of what this country was founded on, which by definition means that they can do anything that they want with it, they begin to make claims for the top of the dominance hierarchy. And that's actually what's happening right now. That's the true fight in the US. It's for the dominance of the top of the hierarchy. They want people to live in their ways. And this is because most people hate dictators, unless, of course, they agree with them. But as I said in the episode on love, see, anything that we hope to have in society, we must first have in the heart of the individual. Jim Morrison, the lead singer of The Doors, said it this way: "The most important kind of freedom is to be what you really are." See, you trade in your reality for a role. You trade in your sense for an act. You give up your ability to feel, and in exchange, you put on a mask. There can't be any large-scale revolution until there's a personal revolution on an individual level. See, it's got to happen inside first. And so here's my quick example of why it's so important to defend someone else's freedom, even, or dare I say specifically, if you disagree with them. So let's say that you come out of your house and the road goes right and it goes left. Now, if you go left, there's a cliff and so it falls off into nothingness. Let's say the flat earthers are right. If you go left, it's the end of the flat earth. Okay, hypothetical. Now, if you go right, it goes to the rest of the world. Now, the dictator says you have to go right. Now, you come out of your house and you say, well, I was going to go right anyway. Only an idiot would go left. So you agree with the dictator. So you don't defend the person that can go left. You just go right. Now, what 1930s Germany taught us is that is a very dangerous idea, specifically because the idiot that wants to go left might end up in charge. Do you understand this? So you have to defend people's right to go in any direction that they please. Just because you agree with a person who wants you to go right, you have to defend the people that want to go left because ultimately there's no telling when they might end up in charge. And then they might have the whole world going toward the cliff, again, as we saw in 1930s Germany. But we also need to discuss the dictator from that scenario. So first I have to ask you this. Can freedom be taken or given? I would assert that true freedom is no one's to give. Perhaps freedom from certain things can be taken. We've certainly seen that here in the United States with the dismal oppression of people of color. But by and large, free is what you are, not something that you have. So if it can be taken, you are never truly free. See, liberation is not leased by the material world because it's an inner process that takes place. The poet Virginia Woolf said, "Lock up your libraries if you like, but there is no gate, no lock, no bolt that you can set upon the freedom of my mind." I've gotten this wrong a lot in my life, so I want to be clear about it. If you're anything like me, the feeling of freedom shows up in your value set somewhere north of happiness, and so it's something that you do pursue. But hear me on this. Until you have freedom right where you stand, you'll never have it anywhere else either. You'll pursue the idea of it. For example, you'll think that once you have a certain amount of freedom, you'll be free. Or once you get into or out of some relationship, you'll finally be free. But all of those will be illusory. See, we say that you are free because freedom in its essence is about being. It's a state of consciousness, or it's nothing at all. If it could be given or taken, it's an idea analogous to freedom, but it's certainly not the real thing. This is in part why all of the world's great religions are preoccupied with two things. Reminding you of who you are by reminding you of what you are. We think of the self as the self that's here and shackled by persona and personality and body and desire, but that's only part of the equation. And this is why I focus a lot of my work, my content around the contents of the soul and trying to figure out what that is, because the soul is boundless and the edges are not defined by physical borders and limits. And thus, if you remember all that you truly are, freedom becomes your birthright. And that is freedom from all forms of tyranny, though it typically starts with tyranny over the mind first. This is why all of the world's great religions paint the animating forces that would take your freedom away as something like the ultimate evil. That is fear, doubt, compulsion for self-defeating ends and the like. John Green said, "Some tourists think Amsterdam is a city of sin, but in truth, it's a city of freedom. And in freedom, most people find sin." See, to sin was an archery term in the ancient Greek culture that it came out of. It meant to miss the mark. So we might conclude that John Green said that with enough freedom, people will miss the mark. Remember, it's dangerous. In Buddhism, this is how we get to the Naraka world. That's something like their conception of the underworld. They conceive of the world as something like a wheel. Only the difference between that and the ideas in the West that we have of hell and things like that is that in Buddhism, they know that whenever you end up there, it's because you wanted to be there. You pursue pleasure until it becomes pain, and you keep pursuing it because pleasure that becomes pain is what happens when freedom is not met with adequate responsibility. In freedom, we have the ability to wreck our own ship as much as we want. And the only one who can right that ship is the one who holds that freedom. That's us. See, freedom demands responsibility because its instability needs order. Freedom demands sacrifice because, as we just mentioned, if you only pursue what you want, you'll pursue it until it kills you. Freedom demands acceptance. Most are quick to give it away to people that seem official because they fear the consequences of their own freedom. This is why countries right now are giving up their freedom at an ever-quickening rate. Fear. That's what fear does. Finally, I would also assert that that's why the Bible tells us not to be afraid over 360 times, right? All of these world's great religions, they are consumed by the idea of freedom. Islam, for example, came because Muhammad could not stand the transitory oppressors that had continued to oppress his people. And so he went into a cave, and didn't leave until Allah had revealed the Quran, the way to freedom for his people. Finally, freedom demands love because at its core, that's what love is. It's radical and unconditional acceptance. No one is more free than when they are the recipients of true, unconditional love. Anyway, I love you guys. Those are my thoughts on freedom today, and we'll talk Monday on Morning Coffee.